Blog Talk Radio.
It was written for a people to understand. That's why the preamble of the Constitution says, "We, the people of the United States of America, in order..."
Loki, the mischievous demigod, has come down from the halls of Valhalla to impart his wisdom.
It really chaps my butt, you know, every time they say, "Well, we're a democracy." I said, "No, we're not. We're not really a representative democracy. We're a representative republic." And there is a difference between a republic and a democracy. A democracy is two wolves and a sheep discussing what's for dinner.
Loki on Church and State.
The Constitution only applies to the federal government. It did not apply to the states. And there was a situation in Connecticut where Connecticut didn't have a constitution. And this was after the United States had been formed and everything. Connecticut was still being governed by the fundamental orders of Connecticut, which was extremely religious based. You had to be a member of the Puritan Church to hold office. And a group of Baptists in Danbury, Connecticut wrote Thomas Jefferson a letter explaining to them their dilemma up in Connecticut. Then Jefferson wrote a letter back. And in this letter, he talked about creating a wall of separation between church and state. But nobody looks at the letter that Danbury Baptist wrote him. I've read articles that say that Danbury Baptist wanted a religious state, and they didn't, because they weren't given any rights in that state, only what the Puritans would give them. And that was the big problem there. And over the years, that story has been twisted around, and now we are where we are today, where they're trying to take religion out of society completely.
Loki on the Middle East.
If you look at the history of the region, with the exception of the Persian Empire, which is Iran, there has been no autonomy over there at all. I mean, it's been a conquered region. When Israel did declare their independence in 1948, they were immediately attacked by seven Arab nations, and the fledgling state of Israel just didn't have a military at all, and they still beat them. It's not occupied, it has been conquered. I mean, it's the same thing we did when we conquered Texas. Texas is conquered territory.
Loki, when debating with the ill-informed.
The Congress voted based on cherry-picked intelligence. No one's come forward to expose the lies of George Bush.
The House Intelligence Committee is privy to the same intelligence that comes to the U.S. President.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they are.
No, they weren't. They were not.
Well, are you a member of Congress? Are you a member of the U.S. Intelligence Committee? No, you're not. So, how do you know, in your infinite wisdom and experience, that the intelligence given to the Senate Intelligence Committee and the House Intelligence Committee was not the same thing provided to the President of the United States?
I've read numerous times.
Now, where do you read these things from? I mean, I want to know. I mean, if there's American intelligence being put out to the American people, I want to know where to go and get that.
There was a law of the Congress.
What law?
That only Congress can declare. War.
The president has the authority to wage war, not the Congress.
To declare war. Congress did not declare war.
They don't have to. The president is the commander-in-chief. The president, by the United States Constitution, is given the authority to wage war, not declare war.
Have you read Article 1 of the Constitution?
Absolutely. Declaring war is not waging war. During the Constitutional Convention back in 1787.
Loki, the host of the Halls of Valhalla at blogtalkradio.com/Halls of Valhalla. The only show on Blog Talk Radio powerful enough to have its own theme written by Wagner.
No, that's not it either. Where in the hell is that station we're looking for? Oh, good Lord, what is that? Oh, hell no. Oh, Judas Priest. You know, one of these days I'm going to find something I can listen to. Why? it looks like, I guess it just looks like the Democrats have taken over everything. Just can't listen to anything that's worth a frick anymore. I swear to God, this is just unreal. Hey, wait.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go round. Talking
I think this is it. There we go. Yeah, right, there we go.
Painted pony, let the spinning wheel spin. You got no money and you got no home. Spinning wheel all alone. Talking about your troubles and you never learn. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel turn. Did you find the directing sign?
Like the Senate. Oh, there's the Speaker of the House right there. There you go. And then we have the Senate and the House negotiating the unconstitutional bailout bill right there. God. United States government. That is what you hear right there. Isn't it fun? Good God Almighty.
That wasn't too good.
What the hell are you laughing at, moron?
Can you see
Gentlemen, and welcome to this edition of Spin This here on the Halls of Valhalla Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. Year number 5 of O'Berry. Yup indeedies, and I am your host type person this evening, Loki.
And today is Tuesday, December 21st, 2013, year 5 of O'Berry, the last day of the year. So, Happy New Year. With me tonight are our two other hostesses, or host, sorry, Snooper. Snooper and Wilson, and I am Iggy Mom.
Good evening.
That was an excellent opening, Snooper. Thank you.
That was very, very well done. Oh, when you let it roll into his normal greeting, though, my heart lurched. I was like, oh yeah, we're gonna. And all of a sudden, it hit me. Oh God.
Yep. It kind of caught me by surprise too. Yep,
nice.
I was all ready to launch into his greeting, and there it was.
Oh, man. Well, I have to believe that he'd be pleased with us for carrying on. I think if we stopped.
Yeah, I do believe so, too.
At least right away, I think he would be filled with nothing but disgust.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have. Yeah. And the need has not gone away, that's for darn sure.
That's for sure. He would always say, well, the show must go on.
Yeah. Oh. I do have to say, though, that he was really good at shooting down lefties. I love the clips that we were playing that
yep. And he was always so calm about it.
Yeah. And he never stumbled over his words like I do.
Me too.
Yeah, and I have a hard time not stuttering, et cetera. I just get mad and then my brain empties. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm just going to take my ball and go home.
I always want to say, what the hell, are you stupid or what?
Yeah, it's not really very not very productive. It's much better if you can argue facts. And
right.
You know, while I may have the facts, I probably have them correctly, and I certainly could dig it up, but to have it at the tip of my tongue in the correct vocabulary, which is very
embedded deep in your mind. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not something I could do.
Well, he did it for well over 30 years, so.
Yeah.
I mean, he just had it down, and has been doing the radio since 2007, so.
Is that when he started?
Yeah.
2007? When did Blog Talk Radio get invented?
I'm not real sure. I think maybe shortly before that. I'm not sure when it actually started.
Well, I know I started listening to it, I guess it was 2008. Or early 2009.
I'm pretty sure I started early on in 2007. Because I found him at Pat Dollard one day.
Yeah, that's where I found it, too. He had that Jihadi Killer Hour, I think it was.
Yep.
But where he may or may not show up. Used to drive me crazy.
Exactly. You click on the show and you wait for a half an hour and nobody shows up.
Yeah. And people would be putting comments. Like, the chat room wasn't up, but you could leave comments. And so we'd end up chatting through the comment page, which was pretty unsatisfying.
Because you have to keep refreshing it.
Yeah. I bet you the Blog Talk Radio didn't appreciate that either.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to build a following if you don't show up.
Yeah, true. I don't know.
He
always had 30 or 40 people in the room when he did have a show.
He is something about that guy. He's just had that, I don't know, I want to say like magnetism. It's kind of charisma, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah.
But it worked on me because I was always, you know, he could talk. You know, when he got going, I mean, he gets people all fired up to go and do something. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Get a pitchfork.
But then he wouldn't follow through. That was his problem.
Yep.
MFP Michael says that BTR started in 2006 for anybody that might be interested.
Excellent.
I always wondered that. And I always meant to look it up someday, but I never did.
Yeah. I wonder if Pat started that active. Remember he was starting that nationwide organization? That was kind of fun.
Active? Was that it?
Yeah.
Active?
Yeah.
Action. Active.
I hooked up with this guy in New Hampshire, and we went to the Live Free or Die rally. The annual Live Free or Die rally that happens in the mountains in New Hampshire every year. And we set up a little booth, you know, and we had, you know, a table and a little tent thing and some flyers. And, man, we went whole hog. We were, like, going for it. And then so we did all that, and then it just, like, we told them about it. We had people signed up and ready to do something. Oh, yeah, that's, yeah. And then he's like, yeah, okay, But I had a great time at the Live Free or Die rally, though.
Yeah. Well, the rallies are always fun. It doesn't matter if, you know. I mean, it's nice when all the people show up, but.
Yeah.
They're fun. I mean, it was great in 2009. Like 250,000 or 2,500,000 of us showed up.
I had so much fun on that trip. That was great.
I know. I wish I could have stayed for the whole weekend, but I had to go back in the bus that night. I know, really.
I think I left I must have left on the Sunday. It was on a Saturday, right?
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, yeah, when I left. I left early before it even, it was just breaking up when we, one night came and found me and dragged me away because the bus was going to leave.
You better get your ass on it.
Yeah, really. It's a long walk from DC back home.
No kidding.
Yes, thank you, Alaskan. Loki was the professor, and he says that we all were students, and now that we graduated, we must carry on with our education, just like all graduates.
Oh, yes, Holger, I remember. We did traipse around. I didn't bring anything. I just wanted I wanted an American flag. I just wanted to wave a flag. And Holger was nice enough to traipse around with me. Went to Home Depot. I finally got something, but it was kind of annoying.
Oh, it was funny because when we were walking in 2009, we saw all these vendors and they were selling crap. Well, about half of them turned out to be libtards, just there to make
Bit
of money. Oh yeah, yep.
Hey,
they
you
were
know
like,
what?
Entrepreneurship, baby.
They were capitalists.
Yep, there you go.
And they don't even realize the irony.
Are you really a closet conservative there, or Republican, or whatever?
Well, they believe in capitalism. So they just parrot what they've been indoctrinated with.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
Jaden keeps talking about the ineligibility of specifically Cruz. He seems to be leading, and then Rubio and Dindal also aren't eligible because they're not natural-born citizens, and Red State seems to have a little problem with that, and that's true.
Well,
whose show was I in? Primo Madonna. Primo Madonna.
And I understand why they have a problem with it, because Cruz's situation is not all that different from Obama's, right?
Yep, precisely, yeah. And he's in the process. Well, he had dual citizenship up until this year, and now he's trying to renounce his Canadian citizenship. So it doesn't matter because his father still wasn't a citizen when he was born.
Right.
So we got to start looking for somebody else. I mean, they latch on to somebody like that, like we latched on to, who did we latch on to in the first run for Obama?
I like old Dr. Ben Carson myself.
Yeah, I do
been
too.
Hit up John Philip Sousa IV is running a national Run Ben Run campaign or something. He started a super PAC.
Wow, really?
I have not been donating any cash to any politicians since. The presidential election, I had to swear off.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But I did. I flipped to $20 to the Run Ben Run campaign because I think he would be great. At least he is smart, articulate, and he's not a friggin' lawyer.
Yeah, true.
Who knows?
True, very, very true. I'm trying to think of the guy that we latched on to before when Obama ran the first time. Who was up against McCain besides Ron Paul? I was all for Duncan Hunter.
Herman? No. Herman?
No, he was in the second one.
Right.
And I was for him in the second one.
Yeah, I liked old Herman.
Yeah,
I'm sure he had lots of drawbacks, but Loki didn't care for him because of the whole Federal Reserve thing.
Yeah.
But, I liked listening to him talk.
Yeah, so
he
I did
had
too.
A lot of common sense.
And I like Santorum in the second one, too.
Yeah, I voted
for him.
And
I think the only one I really cared for was Duncan Hunter because he actually closed the border And now his son is in that office, and he actually kept the border closed.
Yep.
Which is why I'd like him to run with, what's his name, Alan West.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I have a lot of respect for Alan West, but he...
Okay, Jindal was born here. He released his birth certificate earlier this year. His parents became naturalized citizens just before he was born. So he is a natural-born citizen.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think that's true. I have to call
I didn't think it was
Jindal
either. I heard that
what?
That he wasn't because of, that was a couple of years after he was born when they actually became citizens.
You know, I like him a lot, too, putting
I do too. I think
he'd
make a
part aside, but I can't get the Mr. Rogers speech out of my mind. Man, he was just like Mr. Rogers with the sweater and the, okay, boys and girls. Oh, my God. You remember that speech he gave?
Yes.
It was the Republican response to the State of the Union, I think, wasn't it?
Yep. He was very, very, very milk toast.
Mr. Rogers. And he wasn't even Eddie Murphy's version of Mr. Rogers, who I thought was hysterical. You remember when he did that on Saturday Night Live? He was like, the
no,
hood,
I don't
Mr.
remember
Rogers
that one.
Hood. Oh, God, it was so funny.
Yeah, I was,
was
a big Saturday Night Live fan. I think I watched some of the first season and not much more than that.
I had pretty much stopped watching it by the time Eddie Murphy got on, but I caught a few of those.
On YouTube and that. Yeah.
Yeah, he is funny with the sweater and Eddie Murphy's Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. People were like the... there were the hoes and the drug dealers and the people getting shot, you know. It wasn't a very nice neighborhood. Shoot. Well, it seems like we should be able to find, MFP2 seems like he has a link. Oh, thank you, kind sir, and we will... I'm definitely saving that off now. So, I mean, John Philip Sousa, can you get any more American than that guy's name? Oh, my God.
I know, really. I know it.
John Philip Sousa
IV. It seems like almost
fourth.
Every patriotic song you hear that was like a march was done by him.
You betcha. He was like my dad's favorite guy. He knew every single one of those songs. He used to play a tuba in a marching band, so whenever one of those songs would come on, he'd be going around the house going, boom, boom, boom. He knew his parts after all that year.
That's funny. My father used to do that to big band music, only it was he played the clarinet, the trumpet, and the sax.
Yeah.
So it would depend on which song was playing, that which instrument he was playing. It was pretty funny.
Did he play just like professionally or just with any kind of group?
He played with the Navy band, and then he played with a big band. And he played at a place where Glenn Miller played, but he wasn't in didn't play with Glenn Miller. But he was there
music
for the show.
A lot.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong
my
with
dad
that.
Was really good. He still played up until he got cancer. And then they took his voice box out, and there was no way to play anymore.
Oh, man, that's a drag. Oh, man. Did he use it for cancer or smoking?
Yeah.
Oof.
That kind of sucks.
So you can't push the air through with no voice box? I guess you couldn't.
Well, no, you can't breathe then. You got that little hole in your neck.
Oh, he had one of those guys?
Yeah, he was unhappy when he woke up because he did not make the decision.
Really?
Yeah, Yep.
No kidding?
Yep. I didn't fly down for the surgery because I was sick, and I really wish now that I would have, because I would have begged my mother not to make that decision.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Why was it, like, I mean, how come he didn't know?
He only
before,
found it because he went to the doctor. It's the same stupid thing as Neil. He was having trouble swallowing. He'd never had trouble before. He went to the doctor because he thought maybe he had swollen glands or tonsillitis or something, and he came back with a cancer, a diagnosis. Neil was hoarse for 2 weeks, and he went in to find out why he was hoarse, and he went to an ear, nose, and throat doctor after our doctor said, just, you know, wait 2 weeks and see if it clears up. And when it didn't, he went in, and they put the little tube down there, and he said, I want you to go to the hospital right now and get an X-ray. And by the time we got back to his office, which was like 5 minutes, he had the X-ray and said, you're going back for a CAT scan. So it was wild.
Oh, my God.
I mean, here, 5 minutes ago, you were, everything was fine. 5 minutes later, you have cancer. Go back and get a CAT scan. It's like, what? Yeah, they don't give you a whole lot of...
I talked about the bottom dropping out of your world, huh?
Exactly. That was wild.
So your dad was like, they put him under for something else, and while he was under, they asked your mom,
they went
and
to
she
do,
said, yeah?
Yeah, they went in to do a biopsy to see if his tonsils were bad, and when they pulled it out, they, whatever... mirror scan or whatever they do to it, that it had cancer cells in it.
Yeah.
They went out and told my mother, and that was the option they offered her, and she said, well, it was in Florida, too. And if you're a doctor and you can't get a job, you go to Florida. They'll give you one. And
well, they got a lot of people that need doctors.
Yeah,
and
really.
Have money. Not only need doctors, but they have money, too. So.
Right. So... instead of waking
that's
him
tough.
Up and giving him the diagnosis and, you know, maybe just continuing on with the operation, they asked my mother, and of course she hears the word cancer and so.
Oh boy, I think, you know, I want to say that I would have waited for them, but it's so hard to make a decision for somebody else, man.
I know, especially, I mean, they walk out, you go in there just because you have maybe tonsillitis, and they come out and tell you your spouse has cancer. It's like, what do you do? They give you like 30 seconds to make a decision.
Yeah.
Crazy
they
world.
They need to come up with a, you know, but they're going to start forcing people. I mean, you know, we talk about the death panel thing, and they are going to get serious about that. But, you know, to tell you the
definitely.
Truth, and I know my conservative friends hate this, but it's needed. It really is needed. But we need
death
to...
panels?
Well, not... I mean, that's a terrible way to say it, but a little more thought into end-of-life care decisions than the knee-jerk, let's spend $5 million to have a completely senile, incontinent old man.
Well, we have that. We have that now. We have that now. We have living wills.
Yeah, it's just it's
they have
it's,
hospice
it's tough.
Care if you're at end of life. They do have hospice care, and all they do is keep you comfortable.
Yeah,
I had hospice at home. He didn't go to we have I think 3 hospice facilities here, and he did not want to go to one of them, so he just stayed home. And
that's
once a week or once every 2 weeks, a nurse would come out and say, oh, how's everything doing? Let me take your temperature. Let me take your blood pressure.
That must have been
here's
tough on you, though.
Here's a prescription for morphine.
Did you get any kind of respite?
No.
Any help? No.
No.
That's the other thing that they're trying to do. And then a lot of stuff makes a lot of sense as to
well, they offered
of throwing,
it, but Neil's the kind of guy that didn't want anybody else around.
Strangers.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just we
well,
need
once
to
he made the decision
with...
that he was not going to do chemo anymore, he was just going to give up and go the natural way, that you know, that's when, you know, he didn't want people coming around and hanging around. And
yeah, I think that would be the same.
Yeah, but man, that chemo messed him up bad. Yeah.
My sister's I think I told you she's a general surgeon,
mm-hmm.
out in the sticks in Montana. She doesn't do anything really tricky. I have to go to the big city for her, but she does stuff like colonoscopies and tonsillectomies and gallbladder, stuff like that. Trauma, you know, somebody gets hit by a truck, she gets them stabilized to go into the city or whatever. But
right.
She said that she gets these nursing homes, right? They'll be sending her, 95-year-old, completely gorked out patients for colonoscopies. And she says, I'm not doing it. I refuse. I won't do it.
Right,
there's
exactly.
Absolutely no reason, because
no reason
the person
to do
doesn't
it.
Even know. They're completely gorked. And she likes to ask the attending. She goes, okay, so I do the colonoscopy and we find that it's cancer. Now what are we going to do? And they're like, wow,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's 95,
really
yeah.
Do that? And if
yep.
the answer is no, we wouldn't do that, then why the frig have the test?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, you
want to
shove this hose up the poor guy's bum, you know, and basically when they don't know what's going on, it's like you're torturing the person because they don't know
mm-hmm.
what's going on.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work that could be done on the conservative side about, you know, we're awfully over emotional too when
yeah.
it comes to the whole death panel thing, which as we have reason to be, because these people are heartless. Like that Rahm Emanuel's brother guy, the
oh my God, yeah.
Prove your worth, keep it alive. You
well,
know, are
that,
you adding
that line
anything
came
to this?
Right from George Bernard Shaw, and there's a video of it on YouTube. Explain to us why you should be alive. What is your worth to society? That creeped me out big
yeah.
time.
That is, and that's where. One of the biggest things, I think, about Christianity, and which has helped form our Western civilization, is that we place a high value on the individual, that every life
right.
is precious. From your
and
fetus
we place
to
and,
your
and,
worked-out
and
9-year-old.
Itself.
And these socialists, these collectivists, these statists, they are so willing to sacrifice many, many, many nameless individuals for the good
right
of the,
until it comes to them and theirs.
Well, that's not ever going to happen because they're completely above the fray. You know,
mm-hmm.
it would never affect one of them. But as soon as you start thinking like that about the collective and the good of the many and who is adding utility, I remember taking ethics classes where. And this teacher was like totally conservative, but he was surrounded by libs and he was teaching ethics.
Oh my God.
Interesting guy. I know.
He must have had a horrible, horrible life.
He had to eat lunch all by himself every day. I'm telling
you. Oh man. And the kids probably all loved him.
Oh, he was great. Practical. Oh man. I mean, he was like, you know, he actually had thought out his positions on things and could argue them, unlike a lot of knee-jerk stuff that happens on colleges now.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing about utility and utils, like they've actually had people come out, these deep thinkers, that developed this unit of measure, a util, which is like short for a unit of utility that you're providing to the society, right? And
yep.
according to how much utils you can put into the pot is how much resources you should be able to draw out of the pot. And by God, if you're, a Down syndrome or cerebral palsy, or you're a 90-year-old and you've broken your hip, or, et cetera, et cetera, you're not throwing very many utils into the pot. And by God.
I believe that might have even been done by Rahm Emanuel's brother.
Maybe. This has been a long, you know, well, I don't want to say how long ago. Long enough.
Well, the guy's no spring chicken. He's up there.
Well, okay. Because, yeah, this was in undergrad for me, which has been a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, that was one thing about me going to college, is I was already old. I was like 20. Well, this is old. I was like 28 when I started, and my opinions were on firm ground. These crazy libs could not even get a toehold in on me because, you know, I had passed the wide-eyed, gullible stage. I had been working and paying my own way for a decade already, and they weren't, they didn't have any luck with me at all.
Yeah, that's right. I think kids should go right from high school and into some sort of work, some job somewhere, doing something.
Oh, well, you used to go to the military, you know, or something, you know, just build roads for 6 months. I mean, something. I don't know.
Yep.
Put in some U pills for the society.
Old people are not part of the equation. It's like on the curve. Where do you fall in the curve?
Yeah, and thinning the herd of the little black babies too. You know, trying to see how many of those we can avoid having to feed because, you know, these ghetto people aren't providing enough utils for how many resources they're drying out.
Yep.
And forget the Down syndrome babies. Those guys, we can test for
more
that.
Or the really
we'll
autistic
all those
kids
guys
too.
Out of the womb.
Yeah, because I know my grandsons aren't going to be, you know, any great scientists or doctors or anything like that. They'll be lucky if they'll be able to live on their own.
But what could they be providing to the social fabric of our country, the richness, the depth that the individual provides?
Except being,
that's what Christianity has.
Socially cuddly and fun to be with. And
you don't know what this is. You know, God has a special part for everybody. I firmly believe that.
Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
That's where Christian societies have made, I mean, you know, let's look around. There's leaps and bounds over some other religions or different societies that, you know, we don't need to get into. But why? One of the biggest things is we treasure the individual, and we believe that individuals, empowered individuals, can change the world. One guy.
Right. Yeah.
Because one guy did change the world.
Unfortunately, there have been, I don't know, I think it's like 50 million that have been butchered, at least in the U.S. Isn't that what the number is for abortion since 73?
Oh, my gosh, it's terrible. I listened to some of the conservative black people talk about the genocide, and it really is.
It is.
It really is like genocide. And if they wouldn't have been, you know, one guy, I don't remember who it was, it might even have been
Herman Gilk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who was talking about that if they never had this whole Planned Parenthood thing, that his people, you know, his group would be a significant voting bloc.
Exactly.
They could have had power. They could have had, you know, carved out their own
That kind of sounds like Thomas Sowell to me. Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Like
maybe, you know. Because it couldn't have been Herman, because I remember he was a little bit more erudite, you know, in his speaking. But
right.
I don't know. You can say what you want to about Christians, but valuing the individual over this nameless blob of a collective, I think, is definitely worth something. And the whole thing about greed is good, you know. Well, that got a bad name with that movie, but the whole thing about if you have a society where every individual is cherished. And really, everybody, every individual is looking to maximize his or her own experience in life, his or her living arrangements, the comfort, the things. And if everyone is involved in that, you end up making excellent choices for the group.
Right, but then you have people that have kids. The only reason they have kids is to get on welfare or to stay on welfare.
Well, you know, but see, this is, I have no idea how you could change it now. It would have to take a long time. But
People would have to learn responsibilities again. They'd have to learn civics. They'd have to learn ethics. They'd have to learn, a lot of them even have to learn manners. Wow. I mean, it's just a crazy world.
The thing that always happens is people act in the way that they get the most reward.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since the Great Society, people, the urban poor, their reward has been to breed and certainly not have a husband.
They all get free housing, get free food. You
get paid a paycheck for staying home
and having kids.
Yeah. So that's what
and my daughter brought up a good point today. She, it was the Ben Franklin remark about something. She said it was something about welfare. And I said, yes. He said, make them uncomfortable in their poverty, and they will work to overcome it. And she had never heard the quote. She said she knew he had said something about welfare. So I gave her the quote because she was on Twitter with somebody that was arguing with her about welfare.
Uh-huh.
And somebody came back and said, well, even Ben Franklin said something about welfare. But they didn't give her the quote. So.
Oh, that's another thing.
My daughter's conservative, yes. Conservative peppers, they are down in the... Huh?
She's the one that you converted, right?
No, that's my sister.
My
oldest sister. Yep.
I knew you had.
Oh, she was
going to
vote for that clean-cut, articulate black man. I said, "Well, that clean, articulate black man wants to exterminate children even after they've been born." And she is very pro-life, and she always has been.
Mm-hmm.
For a time, I was not pro-life. I was, I'm a product of the early 70s when it was a woman's choice and blah, 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 blah in my teens. So I outgrew that real quick once I had a kid.
Oh, I bet.
Yep.
I
And I'm even more so now because these new 4D ultrasounds they use, if you go in at 8 weeks, you see your fully formed child. You see their face. You see their fingers. You see their toes. You see their heart beating.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
See, I can't tell you how many times I have thanked God for I never had to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were quite a few years where I probably would have done it,
Well,
even
what were we taught? It's nothing but a lump of tissue until about 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Well, now they know at 8 weeks there's a fully formed child in there with nerves and heartbeat and fingers and toes and eyes. You could see their little eyes and their face is all formed. And
just go and get that little problem taken care of and go on back to your business. I just got to say I have thanked God so many times because –
Yeah.
God, you read about some of these women that 10, 20 years later, the load that they're carrying.
Oh,
and my
really?
Yeah. Out to them. It really does. I mean, it must be terrible. Like you said, I just can't imagine. And not for me having some kind of extra virtue,
Right, exactly.
Not because I was any better than a lot of these women. It's totally that, I was pretty careful about birth control, which I have no issue with.
Yeah.
I think people should, if they have methods to avoid unwanted pregnancies, they should avail themselves.
yes, because it's so much easier now than when we were younger, even.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even walk into a Planned Parenthood office and they give you six packs. You don't even have to pay for them.
Well, that's the thing. I went to the Planned Parenthood very young, and they handed me the pills, and that's why I hate bashing them so much. But
it seemed like
they were just so focused on abortion. They really were trying to do.
Well, that's
what
they
because
abortion
doing.
Was illegal then, back in the until yeah. 73.
Okay, I'm thinking mid to late 70s is probably when I was a Planned Parenthood customer.
Yeah.
But, you know, I went and I got, you know, pap smears.
But
and
a lot of people were still anti-abortion. They didn't care that the Supreme Court had passed that unconstitutional.
Right.
Opinion. They didn't even pass it law. It's still not a law. It's just an opinion.
Oh, man. That just brought up a low-key thought. Didn't he hate it whenever we talk about the Supreme Court being this great omnipotent last
yes,
word?
Very
boy, he
much
hated
so.
That.
Yeah. Well, did you see in the news that the UN gun treaty that Kerry signed, that GOP guy passed a law that we're not going to fund it for 2014. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell? It's not been gone through the Senate, has not been ratified. What the hell would we be paying on it?
These people
you get
are
no
so
points with me, pal.
Ignorant.
Just so he could say
Holy
he had a bill
fuck.
Passed. And what surprises me is there were 49 people. There were only 49 people that were against it. That makes me nervous. 54 would vote for it. And that makes me real nervous.
Is it? Well, they could
they
just, now
need
they
like
can just change
something.
It at a drop of a hat. They don't need a
well, not for the not
anymore,
for
right?
not for a treaty. For a treaty, they have to have 2/3.
Well, until they just decide to change it.
Well,
I mean,
they'd have to change the Constitution first. Well, of course they have been changing. They've thrown the Constitution out, but
I mean, they just
constitutionally
to
they
change
really
the
can't.
Other thing. Nobody gave him any shit about it. Like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. Laws don't matter anymore. Constitution doesn't matter anymore. We're just going to do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
No one's called Obama out on the fact that he just changes the laws as he goes around. None of these people, I mean, if I want to say, now God only knows.
None of the people in power have. There's millions of people out here, the people have raised hell over it. They just don't care.
That's it. If they don't care, then what happens? These are elected officials. If they don't care that we're now no longer a country that's ruled by laws, what the hell are we going to do? I mean, the only reason our country works, our Constitution works, our system of anything works is because people have agreed to go along with it. Really, whether it be by agreement or whether it be by a point of a gun, that's the only way people, you know, if all of a sudden all the people in charge decide, oh, to hell with that, we're going to do what we want.
Yeah.
Okay. You can have all the constitutions in the world. You can have one papered and, you know, plaster your whole house with them is all the good it's going to do you. And this is where me and Lucky used to get in. boy. So here I'm like, I feel like I'm doing a little sucker punch on him. I'm going around behind his back now that he can't argue it. Sorry, Lucky. But, you know, because his point, he would always say, that's the Constitution, and that's what it says, and we have to support it, and that's, you know, it, by God, it's in the Constitution, and that's it. And my point was always, so if all, what is it, 435 of those assholes decide to ignore something?
No, that's the House. The Senate's only 100 and...
Well, okay, so 500, well, I was counting them all.
Yeah.
If they all decide to ignore something, like the fact that the chief executive is just doing stuff without any...
A dictator.
Yeah, he's just winging it. He gets up in the morning and says, well, I think we'll do this today. He has nothing. He has nothing for what he's doing. He has no authority to just... I mean, I guess that's why they make these laws so complicated. You know, they make them so freaking complicated so that it covers them like a smoke screen when they're just winging it like they're doing. But he, look, you would always say, it's the Constitution. It's what it says in the Constitution. That's the way it's going to be. And, you know, my God.
That's why we have to take the Constitution back. That's why
you
need to inform people of what the Constitution actually says and why what they're doing is actually unconstitutional.
I know one of the most enjoyable things was on the 2009 rally when we were marching from the subway to the mall, you know, whatever you call it, where we met up.
Yeah, that's called the mall.
When we had those tons of those pocket constitutions, I'm pretty sure it was Loki that got them all.
Oh, yeah. He had like 150 of them or something.
That was so rewarding. I mean, Loki, myself, and Jake Speed, I can't remember who else, but we were passing them out. It was so fun. I mean, really connected with people that were just delighted to have a copy in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the younger people, like, they were just looking at it like, wow, we can actually have this? I'm like, yeah, you know what, you can even read it.
Yes, exactly. Start with the beginning.
And
read
that,
the Declaration of Independence. People need to read that. People need to read that and then look at today's newspaper and say, holy crap, man, that could have been written today.
No kidding. It's incredible.
Incredible.
How we can have the best thing ever invented by man and just throw it down the toilet.
Well, it took a lot of years to throw it. I mean, we didn't actually throw it down the toilet. We kind of helped it along because we just didn't understand either until we got older. But this started way back. Way back.
You know, back when we first started on the sex, drugs, and rock and roll era.
Incrementally, it was the start of that. That was the speed up. But it was going on the 40s and the 50s and...
Yeah, and it's funny because
the guy came out with that so-called American dream. There never was such thing as anything called an American dream before he came out with it. And he was an advertiser, and he's the same guy that came out with that bacon and eggs is what you eat for breakfast. Seriously, people did not used to eat bacon and eggs for breakfast. They'd have...
No kidding.
No kidding. They'd have like cream of wheat or oatmeal, some kind of a hot cereal.
Yeah.
Yep. And he brought out bacon and eggs, and he said he made that the American meal.
The burger and fries guy too.
Probably. Well, this is way back in the late 30s, early 40s when radio was on. I don't even think they had television yet. Huh?
Is he the food pyramid guy?
I don't know. All I know is he was an advertiser, and somebody from either the egg products or bacon products, something.
Yeah.
Maybe both of them came in. You know, how can you make our product push our product, and that's what he came up with, bacon and eggs in the morning for breakfast. And then after that was so successful, they came up, somebody, I don't know who it was, came up with the American dream. Everybody has to own a home. Everybody has to have a car.
Like picket fence.
All these, in the 50s, all these little cookie-cutter houses came out in little neighborhoods. And yeah, that was the guy that did it. I can't remember his name.
That was a great way to live back in the day.
Yeah, but there was before that, there was never anything called an American dream. So now that I know the story, it just irritates me every time I hear somebody say, "Oh, the American dream."
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's an advertising forum. It's like Corona beer. Beer and the Mexican holiday there. I mean, come on, people. This was never a holiday before Corona beer. Oh, gosh.
How about the food pyramid guy, though? That's the one that frosts my shorts.
Yeah, really.
I can't remember his name, but I heard this story. I'm pretty sure it's true that the guy who came up with this food pyramid thing, that was just his freaking opinion. And he didn't have any data, no studies, nothing. That was his opinion, and we had pounded through our heads my entire life. And now all of a sudden we're being told, oh, well, that's crap.
No, now we got to turn it upside down.
That sucks.
I have no idea what Michelle Obama did to that.
You know, that you're not even supposed to eat vitamins now.
Yeah, vitamins are no good for you.
Well, they're not saying they're for you. They're just saying we're spending billions of dollars a year for nothing.
Yeah.
The whole vitamin industry is just crap.
No, I don't believe that.
I find that very disheartening.
I know that part of it's not true, because when I went for blood tests, they said my vitamin D level was very low, so I started taking
D3,
and it came back up to normal.
That's what I've been reading. Vitamin D.
Milk, so, I mean, where am I getting it from if it's not from that little tiny gel cap?
Vitamin D is the one that they're saying now. And also lutein.
They test for everything now.
I know. Lutein, these pills that have L-U-T-E-I-N, that they've got some pretty good data that it will delay, slow down, help macular degeneration.
Yep.
So they seem to have some pretty good studies on that one.
Well,
so
see, a lot of the stuff is what they're putting out now is natural vitamins.
Yeah.
And the vitamin companies are all pissed off about it, so they're trying to jump on the bandwagon.
Right. But you just don't know what's in these things. And it's just like they've done samples. I think it was one of the consumer affairs type organizations where they pulled, you know, all kinds of different brands and, you know, pretty wide sampling.
Right.
And hardly any of them had anything resembling what they said they were had. So, I mean, it's wow, shit. Especially Walmart.
There are websites where you can go and find out where the frauds are and where the, you know, where the fairly, it's got the stuff that what they say in it. And I think
most drugstores
are a brand name.
No,
I don't think Walmart does that much investigating into anything.
No, they're
but
all
like
from
your,
China.
Your smaller
all their
drug
brands.
Stores, you know, they pretty much know what they're getting into. They get the literature and the crap on it before they just go ahead and order it.
Right.
I don't think they buy them by price.
Amen. And all that stuff at Walmart is coming from China. It's probably...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And lead, mercury, and cadmium, and all that other stuff. That's like evil. So you had pulled some, you want to take a break?
Yeah, it's about that time, isn't it? Wow.
So you've got the magic lever and the...
Okay, I'm going to try it, and I'm going to try it for a reason. And you'll see why when it goes. We'll talk about it when we get back. Was
good
the
song.
Carol of the Bells.
Oh, man, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to listen to Mannheim Steamroller without tearing up again.
Yeah.
Which is a shame
but
because
that's the first
that group. But...
Yeah, that was the first song that came up when I put it under YouTube with Carol of the Bells. And I said, oh, my God, Loki Road, you and asked you if you were going to, because you were doing the caroling, the bells, if you were going to do it. I said, I have to get that. He's actually, he had it on here, so. Yeah.
I'm afraid our little choir has a way to go before we can play that. Not the lack of trying.
So that one was for you.
Thanks. Yeah. That is a lot of fun. I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you participate in music when you suck as a musician? Well, you can play handbells.
Play bells. There you go.
All you have to do is be able to find your note on the staff of the music, and every time that comes up, you ring your bell. And then sometimes you get two bells, so you have to find two notes on the music that.
Oh man, I'd be lost.
You have to ring. It's fun.
A little out of practice, I could probably do it though.
Well, we have people. When I did it, when I first started, is you give them a red pencil and a blue pencil, and you tell them which notes are there, and they circle the ones they're supposed to play, the red for the right hand and blue for the left hand. And so you don't really have to know how to read music either. You just, when you get to one of your circles, you ring your bell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just don't lose your place.
Yeah. If you lose your place, it's... But the measures have numbers, so they call it out. Like, if everybody gets screwed up, they go, 46, 47. Hey, you know, it's an all-volunteer organization.
They're still cool to listen to, though. I like them.
Yeah, we do okay. We've got three octaves, which is, we don't have the people, enough people to play them all. But because that's a lot of, you know, all the sharps and flats and three octaves, that's a lot of bells. The people that play the little bitty ones, they can play a lot of them, though. They, like, cross them over, and they can, like, if you shake your hand one way, you get one note. If you shake it the other way, the other one rings. I'm not even coordinated enough to do that. They gave me the big ones down at the other end, so I just go, boom. Sometimes I get carried away and boom. I like the big ones.
Funny.
They're more fun.
So on your deacon night, that's still the last Tuesday of the month?
Yeah. Thinking about that. Think we'll be able to get a volunteer?
I was thinking either Snoop or Yankee Mom or Tawan. I don't know. Maybe Holger would pop in, or maybe we could even find somebody to come in as a third host on
that would be
Tuesday
wonderful.
Night.
Maybe we could get Blarney or what's that guy, Stan. Oh, I'm having a blank out. Movin's cousin there.
Yep. I got a Scathira Stan on my brain, and that's not it. Sponge Stan is where he comes from.
Sponge Stan? Sponge Stan. Sponge Stan. Sponge Stan. Oh, yeah. Rip you off a Stan. Sponge Stan. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's the fourth Tuesday. And I mean, the earliest I could ever get home would be like 8:30. So
yeah.
Oh, I still got two more years of service. I can't believe
I've
already
done
it for a year. Yeah, it's a 3-year term, and the first year just went poof.
Wow.
Yeah, I really enjoy it a lot, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy work. You just have to get there early and stay late. You know, you just set up and tear down, like working in a restaurant or something. It's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
You know.
Gives you a night out of the house anyway.
Yeah. Boy, these days, I'm having to cart my mom around with me all everywhere now. Poor thing.
Really?
Yeah, she can't stay home.
Oh, no,
so,
really?
Oh, yeah, it's kind of bad. So I would love to go. You know, I would dig the money up to go to Michigan, but I can't drag her along. She can't stay here.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, 7 hours for me. I can imagine how long it would be for you. Because I was thinking
really
of just driving out and going to the service. The service is, I think, from 3 to 9.
So it's 11 hours from your house?
It's 7 from my house. I have to go up to Canada.
I think I would. I would even do seven. I could load her in the trunk. No.
Oh, that's from my house. For you,
yeah.
I know
from me to you is
another
at least
3 hours on top of that.
Yeah.
Because I know it's an hour and a half to Syracuse, and my uncle lives, or the rest of my family lives in Ilion, which is probably 2 hours, and the Massachusetts border is probably another half hour from that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 45 minutes.
Well, it used to take me to go to Lake George from my house. It's three hours, and a half. And so Syracuse, where's the where they have the racetrack? Is that Syracuse? The big racetrack?
Oswego?
You hit Albany and you turn north.
I think it's Oswego.
Oh.
There might be another
beautiful
one. Lancaster's out here. It's past me. It's towards Buffalo. I think Oswego is on the other end of the lake.
It's
not a real big track. It's just you mean a horse track or a car racing track?
Yeah. No, a horse track.
Oh,
horse
Saratoga?
Racing. Saratoga Springs, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. I knew it started with an S. That's a nice track.
Yeah, it is.
And even as recently as, 3 years ago, you could still bring coolers in. You know, throw a blanket down, have a cooler, sit back and have an adult beverage and watch the horses.
I even think they have gambling stuff in there now. I think Saratoga's one of the ones that they let have gambling machines in them.
Yeah, that's the only way they can stay afloat.
Yeah. Well, Cuomo's trying to screw the Indians now because the machines that are at the racetracks are based on the lottery, like the New York State Lottery. And the regular Indian casinos have real ones that aren't based on a lottery. And he's pissing the Indians off because he wants to put six casinos around New York State. You know, freestanding casinos. So nobody's going to like that.
Oh, Iggy, I'm sorry. I'm having a little minor crisis here. I'll be right back.
All righty. So what does everybody think about having a third guest on? Or any comments about how to run the show or anything else?
What?
Is this the right format?
Well, you want a third person on for Wednesday night?
Yeah, Tuesday night. Yeah, we were thinking about it. We talked about it because every fourth Tuesday, Wilson has to she has a deacon's meeting she has to go to, so she doesn't make it to the show usually until almost the end.
Right.
So I figure if we had three people, then we'd still have two people on the fourth Thursday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't say, a third person for a proper round table.
Yeah, well, it's your show, sounds good to me.
Yep. So I was thinking either you or Tawana or Yankee Mom, if anyone, I know Yankee Mom does three shows a week. Wait a minute, is it three shows? Maybe it's only two shows. Yeah, because I know she does one with, she did one with Loki, and is she going to do Tuesdays with, or Wednesdays with you? Or are you doing Mondays with her, Yankee Mom?
Oh, I'm doing Mondays with her. On Wednesday, I don't know who's going to be on. I'm going to be there, but I don't know. If
I thought Tawana was gonna join you.
Well, she's going to come on this Wednesday because it's a tribute to Loki show.
Right.
And so, if anybody can come in, hold your view, Wilson, anybody. you come on the
right,
show Wednesday.
Right.
You
know, on Wednesday.
Well, it,
yeah, that's the big tribute. Everybody should come in that
right.
night and call in.
Right.
And
right.
Because Karen does listen to all of these shows. So if anybody has anything
yeah.
to say about, you know, a tribute to Logi, then, you know, call in
mm-hmm.
and.
Well. So, you know, whoever wants to call in can call in on Wednesday show, but any show, you know, can call in. But not on, you just got me thinking, you know, after this Wednesday show, the next Wednesday show, I'll be all by myself. Well, that's not going to work.
Right.
But, you know, anybody can call in, anybody. So.
Hi, sorry about that.
No problem. No problem.
Yeah.
We were just discussing what we're going to do with the show about maybe a third co-host.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the fourth Tuesday
that you have the round table?
We have the round table every Tuesday. It's just that on the list, Tuesday of the month, Wilson has her deacon's meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This poor church actually scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Right. So we have a 225 on the phone. Is anybody area code 225 in the chat?
Are you a caller?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hold on. I'll go find out who they be is.
Okie dokie.
Oh, my poor mom. She had set the dinner table again and started all over again.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, such a drag. Telling you, getting old is not for the faint of heart.
Faint of heart.
Oh, my goodness. See, I think by the time we get old, they're just going to put old people out on the icebergs and push them out
them
to
away.
Sea. Yeah.
Like the Indians and the Eskimos used to do.
Yeah. Well, they used to do it voluntarily, though. That was part of their culture, that the elder would decide when it was time, and then they'd just walk on out to the
The caller, Iggy, is MST, if you want to bring him on. I told him to stand by.
Okie dokie.
How you doing,
Mark?
How you doing,
there?
Gentlemen and everybody else? You know.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. You're pretty much right about this whole thing with these people that's the American Medical Association and all this stuff that tells you they don't know half the time. They don't know what they're saying about what they're talking about, and they say, "Well, this is good and this is bad," and 10 years later they switch it around on you, you know. I mean, you know, I see somebody put this thing about this article about these supplements being bad. Well, I bet in about 10 to 15 years they'll switch that around again and it'll be all good again.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's like butter was a heart attack on a piece
yeah.
of toast. Now it's good for you.
Well,
and the same with eggs.
Yeah, you know, bacon. Bacon's and here's what's funny about it. You go and you look at, you know, it's in particular about, you know, one thing that's really bad for you, smoking. You know, you go and look
yeah.
and even in the classic cartoons like, oh, let's say the Jetsons. What was the first thing that George Jetson had brought to him? I mean,
yep.
smoking is big in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, they just don't admit it now.
Oh, yeah.
They're great at turning up their nose at stuff that they secretly do.
Yeah.
Well, I've said that for years about libtards. They always accuse other
yep.
people of what they themselves do.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. big time.
Well, you know how they got the women to drink, right? They took... This was a guy that came out of the Woodrow Wilson administration, and he was a big ad man. And he says, "Well, what you do is you take a flask and you strap it to the inner thigh of a woman and you make it sexy. You know? That's how they got them to drink. That's how they got the women to drink. They made it look good to drink at the time.
Yeah, they did the same thing with smoking.
Yeah.
And I believe it's the same ad guy, too. Because this all started right around the same time. The American Dream, the bacon and egg thing, they went over so big that, you know, people accepted them.
And then of course,
long holders. They put the cigarette in those big long holders, and then they had the big blood red fingernails and puffing away on the thing. Oh, my gosh.
And then of course, in the 50s, there was this whole truth, justice, and the American way thing that they had Superman do. And that was another big catchphrase because we were fighting the Cold War, and then when we wanted the American, the quote, the American way, which is still an ill-defined thing, you know?
I wonder about that. Hey, you got just as a... aside, did Loki quit smoking? Did he finally get off of him?
Yeah.
A couple months he quit smoking. Yeah, he was very proud of himself. For two weeks he did the patch, and he was having some crazy wild dreams. So he said, "The hell with this." He says, "I'm just not going to smoke anymore."
He just quit.
Yeah, just threw the patches away, and that was it.
So he had to go through all of that for nothing. Could have smoked. Right up until the day.
Well, he was healthy. He was healthy right till the day he died. So
gosh.
His lungs were getting better, healing.
Oh, I've been quit for 6 years now, and I still miss him.
Yeah.
I don't miss the smell.
I'm down to about a half a pack a day, and cold days it's way less than that because I don't smoke in the house. I have to go outside to smoke.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I smoked like
two packs a day for a long time.
I'm a programmer, and I worked at home, and I would just puff, puff, puff all day long while I was writing
code.
That's
the way I was, too. My daughter smoked until she got pregnant with her first daughter, and that's when she said, if you smoke in the house, I'm not going to bring the baby over. So that's the day we decided, we'd go smoke on the porch.
You gotta
make choices in life, right?
That's right. But then again, you got these guys like Bloomberg who people want to get off smoking, so they go off to smoking these e-cigarettes. Well, he wants to ban the e-cigarettes.
Schumer wants that banned big time.
What is wrong with these people? They are just not happy until they control every freaking.
The e-cigarette is taking away from the smoking cessation, organization that is run by the federal government. Now, where would that money go to if they weren't...
skim off of a Nicorette?
Right.
Pool,
right.
And that's what they don't want to live out. You know what?
Right, and they give you this little telephone number, and if you really feel like you need to smoke, you have to call this phone number. And we have counselors on hand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to help you get through your crisis.
I only quit because of that Chantix stuff. And I still send up a little thank you prayer for whoever invented that shit because that was some good stuff.
My daughter used that to quit, too. She had quit before she got pregnant because she was planning. And she's one of the ones that had... And she didn't even realize that her husband told her about it, that she was having, maniac spells, suicidal and murderous thoughts, and
Because of the Chantix?
Yep.
Yeah.
So she went right off of it. She had already quit smoking.
Yeah.
She was on the last part of the Chantix thing there, so she just stopped taking it. But, man.
I never noticed anything weird, but of course I have a lot of weird thoughts anyway, but I never felt murderous.
I have to admit I do too.
So one of my best friend's fathers, all he did was smoke a pipe when I was at his house. That's all he did, and it didn't do nothing to me. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and look, this war on smoking, war on cigarettes, war on tobacco.
My husband smoked for over 50 years, and he died of non-smoker's cancer. So, I mean, it didn't make any sense.
You know, this war on smoking, what they're not getting, smoking is a big cash cow for the liberals because they can tax the heck out of those things. But once you tax too much, people are just going to quit anyway, and you won't get that money anyway.
That's what pissed me off so bad is the hypocrisy of you know, they're so sanctimonious and looking down on smokers and just basically treating you like shit. But yet they're balancing their freaking budgets on your back, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey.
And who are the people that actually smoke? The lower 25 percentile of the population that make less money.
It's one of the most aggressive taxes we have.
It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing with this whole minimum wage deal. What happens when you raise the minimum wage? You raise the minimum wage, places like McDonald's and Burger King and Pizza Hut, they raise their prices on their food. And who eats at those restaurants? Who eats at those restaurants
today? They're trying to get the fast food companies out of the U.S. I'll see if it's still up here. I said that makes a lot of sense now with all the crap they're doing.
They're all the time saying, the libs are all the time saying, oh, we're for the poor, but every time they do this type of stuff, it hurts the poor because where do the poor go and eat their lunches or
They go to the dollar menu.
Even the working poor go for the dollar menu
because if they have to eat lunch at work, if they're not taking lunch to work, you know, like there's no place to keep a lunch cold or something, you know, they go to McDonald's and get their dollar lunch menu.
Yeah, and at some point, that dollar lunch menu is going to double. You know, it's going to go from being $1 to $2.
Yeah, and guess why? Because they just boosted the minimum wage. I was reading an article the other day about this town in Washington State, I'm pretty sure, that has raised their minimum wage to $15. This is the level of people we're dealing with. They were, you know, they were interviewing various business managers and, you know, people that have three or four of a franchise, you know, restaurants, motels, stuff that employs a lot of minimum wage workers. And they're like, oh, yes, well, we've decided we're cutting staff, we're cutting hours, we're no longer going to offer this, we're no longer going to offer that. You know, we have to make all these adjustments in order. And, of course, you know, anybody that can do math can understand this, right? So they stick the mic in the face of this super lib that got elected. And she's like, oh, they're just that's crazy talk. They're not going to do that.
Jeez.
I mean, they just don't even live in the same universe. They have never, ever once taken any finance courses or even friggin' math at all. They don't. They're no economists, economics, no math, no finance, no accounting, nothing. They just drifting around with unicorns and the rainbows and shit. But I mean, she came right out and said, "Oh, that's not true." Well, what do you mean that's not true? Are you the business owner having to figure out how you're going to meet your payroll? No.
That's the whole. You know, that brings me back to Obamacare. The argument, you know, they always give you. I see libs on Hannity and people like that, and they say, oh, the law is the law. Well, if the law is the law, then Donald would still be the law because he would have defended that thing in court. You may not agree with it, but he should have, his oath says he's supposed to defend the laws of the land to the utmost, and he didn't do that with that. You know, the law says you're supposed to prosecute somebody if there's voter intimidation. Well, he didn't prosecute the Black Panthers.
No, well, as a matter of fact, they had been convicted and were waiting for sentencing, and he overturned the conviction.
Wow.
Yep, that's right. It was worse than not prosecuting him.
Exactly.
That's 10 times
they
worse.
Were prosecuted, and they were found guilty, and they were waiting for sentencing, and he came in, and he overturned it.
How about the
yep.
thing about the, you know, the knockout game, right? The only people, one guy has been charged by the feds for hate crime.
Yep.
The one white guy that hit a black guy. You know, I'm sorry,
yep.
but can we be any more friggin' blatant?
I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Well,
they have no shame at all. They have no shame because
they reported the two in New York City on the Jewish guys, then they tried to come out and say, oh, well, it's a phantom. It's not really happening. This is just an odd curiosity that somebody did. It was a joke, and they didn't really mean it, and they were sorry, and, you know, it's not anything that's nationwide, and it's not widespread and all this, until a white guy does it. And then
right.
bang. Okay, yeah, there is a knockout game thing going on.
Right.
It's white people
and
doing
they're
gonna it.
They're going to charge this guy with a hate crime federal. All the
yeah.
other guys, maybe they could
Or even a white
state.
Hispanic in the case of George Zimmerman. Oh.
You know, that wasn't
that,
knockout. That was just
that
was just
yeah,
plain
that was something
crazy.
Else, but yeah, but like to change the terms of whatever they're talking about to fit what they're talking about, change the meanings of words and stuff, you know.
You have to go back to the 1828 version of the dictionary to find out the true meaning of words, because even today's dictionaries doesn't have them right.
Mm-hmm.
They've changed them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the word niggardly. That used to be a perfectly acceptable adjective.
Yes, it did.
And cheap is
and,
cheap
and do you know
for...
that you can't say Niger even on TV?
That's just crazy.
And that's the name of a frickin' country, Niger.
What do? They oh, that in place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
that in place, yeah.
I live in the in place, but I can't say that.
Oh, my God. Somebody was talking about, I don't even know what show I was on. Somebody was talking about over in Britain, and they were standing up for the Muslims over there. And they were talking about something, and they kept saying African Americans. I said, if they're living in Britain, how the hell can they be African Americans? They're British citizens. They're not Americans. Exactly. It was crazy.
Freaking brainwashed. PC bullshit.
They're black British people.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's all this stuff. I mean, it's that, and then you can't say certain things to certain people, and it is what it is right now. And
there are
and
words that I would prefer got banned, but I'm sure not going to be demanding it. Like the C word really bugs me a lot, but. I'm not holding a placard demanding that it be expunged from the English language. You know, just friggin' turn your ears off.
Right,
yeah.
exactly.
Especially
yeah.
when, I mean, I could see when you outright call somebody one of these names. But to use a perfectly legitimate word that just happens to sound like one that you don't like, isn't that carrying it a little too far?
Mm-hmm.
And what's bad about it is, You get, you know, I remember on certain shows, certain guys on certain shows back in the day would use things like honky and things like that, and they thought cracker and things like that, and they thought that was a slur against white people, but we don't take it that way.
Oh, it depends on how it's said. I can certainly take it that way, but I'm not going to get all bent of shape about it.
No.
I know my daughter when she was playing with a little girl behind that lived behind us. They were playing dolls together, and the mother came out and grabbed a hold of her, and she says, "Don't you play with that little white cracker." I knew exactly what she was talking about. It wasn't complimentary.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
It's all context.
And she was only about four at the time.
Yeah.
my favorite comedian, Adam Carolla. You know, he does this podcast I listen to all the time. And, I mean, he's an atheist. And, of course, he's a Hollywood guy, so he can never just, like, come out and say he's conservative. But he holds all the same kind of views that we do, especially towards society. And it's so funny because he makes jokes. He's a comedian, right? And he thinks nothing about making jokes about black people, gay people, you know, whatever. His own parents, they're the butt of his jokes most of the time.
Look at how they've treated Bill Cosby. Just for saying what he says.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but
just for saying
that guy,
what he...
David Alan Greer, I don't know if you remember him. He's been on a bunch of sitcoms. He's a kind of a crazy guy, black dude. And he's like best friends with that. He comes on all the time, and they you know, do riffs on each other. And it's funny, you know, to make fun of the differences between people. But if it's done in... as underneath all the words, you have a friendship, then
right.
It doesn't come out as hateful because
you
can tell these guys are friends because they, you know, they kind of like whopping each other up back the head, you know, kind of goofy friends. It shines through, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
And we've lost that, and it's so sad because it used to be fun. You know, to be able to laugh and joke and then leave the bar together, you're fine, right?
Yeah.
There are reasons why some of these actors get away from Hollywood and live in other places like Texas and Montana and places like that.
Keep their sanity.
They don't want to deal with it. You know?
They
just flat out don't want to deal with it. And
of course,
and
a lot of them are put out to pasture too.
And that's what gets me. What gets me is you look at where a lot of these TV shows are set, New York, Chicago, L.A., and that's it. The reason why it's not just the political, the Christian reason why they hate it on Duck Dynasty, it's the fact that most of these guys don't like these TV shows to be set in rural or southern areas, you know. They much rather them be, because they're all liberals. And
well, Duck Dynasty is a huge hit.
It's a huge hit, but where's it set? It's set in Louisiana, Monroe, Louisiana, which is not a big city. It's not New York, it's not Chicago, and it's not L.A.
These guys are cuffing at Hicks, but they're proud of it. What the hell? That's their culture.
I mean, that's their culture. Just like a lot of you guys in Minnesota are, you know, now I don't know if you've been ice fishing and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Well, that type of stuff happens up there, just like what they do down here happens down here. And I guarantee you, you have this same type of show up in Minnesota, and it would be the same type of thing where it's in a small town, and there would be, he'd be Christian, but it's, they don't want it to be in these small towns because they don't like to show that part of life because, you know, they're liberals, you know. They think everything has to happen in a big city. That's what it is. And we see how big cities are under liberals, Detroit, Chicago, L.A., New York. I mean, Detroit is bankrupt. Chicago is heading toward being bankrupt. Who knows about New York and L.A.?
New York is bankrupt, too. We pay almost a buck on a gallon of gas. Our gas has not come down. They say across the nation, gas prices are coming down. Well, here they're going up.
Well,
they're adding more taxes on it.
I understand.
They just put another 18 cents on it, on a gallon.
I've listened to a bunch of people from up that way, from Minnesota way, you know, talking about the DFL up there and how the Democrats basically run that state and are running it into the ground, you know.
Get Democrats and the majority running not just the governorship and the leadership, but if you get them in the small towns and that, then you're doomed. we still have some small pockets of Republicans in New York State over in the western side where I live. So if we could just cut off from Albany down, we would be all right here. We would be a real conservative state.
It's the same in western Mass. A lot of conservatives in western Mass, too.
Yeah, we go back to being New Amsterdam, and they could stay New York. We don't care.
Yeah, you know, you got all that way. You got all that way, you know, Buffalo and all that, all up in northern New York is from us. I have my pastor is from up that way in New York State, and he says a lot of that state is conservative, but the power base in that state is New York City, and it's very, very liberal.
Yep, and a few counties just above it.
And that's where we get these wieners and this current communist mayor of New York City right now, who's basically going to run that thing into the ground, in my opinion.
Yeah, even worse than Bloomberg. He is worse. I never thought that they would find somebody worse than Bloomberg, and they did.
Oh, my God. I can't believe they elected that guy. They deserve every freaking thing they get, man. I'm telling
you. They certainly do. They certainly
do.
They're
going to be...
I can't believe they did it.
They're going to be praying for Giuliani to come back into office.
No, just wait. Soon. As the murder rate quintuples and the tax rate sextuples.
The tax rate in New York City is actually low.
There are reasons why people like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh have moved out of New York City.
Oh, yeah, the personal safety.
They've moved out of New York State.
True, but it's the taxes.
Yeah. They have moved out of New York State.
Yeah.
Not just New York City. They have
left
the state. A lot of people have left the state. I explained that on another show, is that we actually lost 3 seats in the House. But Bloomberg fought back and said that, no, that the census count was wrong, and they gave a seat back to New York City.
Uh-huh.
So we only lost 2. So the next census that comes around, we're going to lose at least 2 more because people are leaving here in droves.
Democrats are kind of – they love to fight things that they're going to eventually lose. I think they're going to eventually lose this whole Obamacare thing. And it's going to be a big, huge loss, probably a generational loss for them.
Wow. Andrew Wilco today called the new mayor of New York City a true Sandinista.
Even the Tzaiballs in that. That was his big thing. That was his defining moment that shaped his character.
Well, look at the senator from Vermont. He's an outright socialist. He calls himself a socialist.
Yeah, but you know what? I have more respect for him than most of the other, you know, at least he's honest and he's also consistent.
Yep, and Obama stumped for him twice up there, so what does that make Obama?
There's a reason why.
Once before he was running for president and once after.
There's a reason where there's no place in the Democratic Party for people like Joe Lieberman.
Oh, Joe Lieberman is like a big pile of mush. You kidding me? Depends on which, you know, if he's running uphill or downhill or which way the wind's blowing or if it's been warm or if it's cold. Talk about your middle of the road, don't believe in anything, guy. Jeez.
There's a reason why a lot of these Southern Democrats, and you saw one earlier this year with this black fella, that changed sides from Democrat to Republican down here in Louisiana, that there are reasons why these guys aren't Democrats anymore. And it's because that it's sort of the whole...
Oh, he dropped off.
Aw.
His call dropped.
Well, yeah, I think I could finish this thought that they don't want to be they're lifelong Democrats, but they didn't sign up to be communists.
Right.
You know, and people with good character and that are willing that actually have a set of beliefs, right or wrong. That's why Bernie, what's his name in Vermont, or how about that Mark Kucinich guy? I mean, okay, Gad's ultra lib, but you know what? The guy had a well thought out set of values, and as much as I disagree with him 100%, at least he had something and that he believed in, and that he was consistent, and that you knew how he was going to come down on an issue because it was part of his belief structure.
When Obama was in office, that was the big joke. He'd put his finger up in the air and see which way the wind was blowing.
Exactly. And these guys are like spam, you know, like all kinds of mystery meat. You don't know what they're going to be. I mean, it's I have no respect for that. And I don't I don't believe in being such an ideologue that, okay, if because I have opinions about issues that don't necessarily all end up on the right side of things. Now, generally, I believe more conservative things, but there are things that I have a belief difference. But you just got to be able to say, why do you believe that, and then stick with it, you know?
Right, exactly, exactly.
It's like we were talking about the Planned Parenthood. I have trouble bashing them because they really saved me, you know, when I was young and stupid and poor.
They weren't the multi-billion-dollar organization they are right now. They were really a struggling new organization. Yeah.
But I can't bring myself to just blanket bash them because of the fact that I think they do good work. Somebody just take their knives away from them.
Yeah, exactly.
Lying. You can't have people that are 100% right-wing ideologues that, you know, lockstep, this is what we believe, and you know, if what I hate about our side and extremists on the other side too, though, is like, you got a candidate that's great on 90% of the things you agree with them on, and one thing that you don't agree with them, and then they're like, out.
Right,
throw out
right.
the trash. We hate this guy now. He did this, he did that, you know, and hey, man, people are trying to get along, you know? It's hard.
Yeah. Well,
we've got to find people that believe most of what you believe.
Yeah. We've got about 8 minutes left to the show, and I have a special audio to play for the end of the show.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we'll say goodnight to everyone, and thank you for coming, and have a happy, happy New Year's Eve.
It was a fun night.
Stay off the road if you're drinking.
Thank
you. Okay, love you guys.
Good night.
Good night.
I just want to touch back on the passing of Loki. You know, there's people in this world that you look up to for various reasons. And I looked up a lot to Loki. Actually, Loki was quite short, so I actually looked down at him. And he used to kid about it. He wasn't very tall. But, you know, I met Loki at one of the Washington, D.C. rallies after listening to him for a couple years on BTR, and it was great to meet him in person and spend some time with him. And, you know, I can't even count how many of his shows I went to. And I see people in the chat room here that spend a lot of time in Loki shows. I see Jadam. I see Bigfoot. Kermit spent a lot of time there. Iggy Mom spent a lot of time. She actually co-hosted the show Spin This with Loki. A great BTR host. A great man. Put his family first. Put his country first. And I'm just really, really sorry to see him go, especially so young. So anyway, I wanted to do a real short tribute to him, so I wrote a poem for my friend Loki. I titled it Now We Are Free, and it goes something like this. Countless nights and countless hours, he sought to bring the word to those who didn't know or hadn't heard. Each night on the radio, he spoke of the promise of freedom and liberty. He brought us all down the path of our very own history. The good Lord hadn't blessed him with stature and fame, nor was he wealthy and known by many by name. But to those who heard his passion and truth, his fevered longing, well, they were truly blessed by a caring unseen. While we sit each night and long for more of his thoughts and direction, we can take the moment in the calm for real reflection. For Loki had given us the tools to carry on the fight, to protect and adore our country's constitution and what is truly right. Till the day we meet once again, my friend, I will not consider this even close to the end. For together we walked this road of toil to keep our liberty. And now, after all this time, yes, now, we are free. Good night, all.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Have a great night now. So I wonder if we're in the archivage yet.
I think so.
Yeah. That went really well tonight, I thought.
Yeah, not too bad.
Really nervous. Trying to do it for the first time, and all when Loki
right.
came on announcing the show, I was like,
oh,
I was
man.
All ready to stuff.
Yeah.
I had it all written down like he used to say it. And
uh-huh. It kind of freaked me out, too.
Yeah. But it's a good opening for the show. I mean, everybody liked it.
Oh, yeah.
I think Karen will like it, too.
I'm wondering if people show up because of the curiosity factor, but I hope they come back.
I'm pretty sure they will.
Did Snooper be alone on Wednesday?
Snooper's going to be on with her. But he's got a 2-hour show afterwards, too, so I'm sure he doesn't want to be on Blog Talk for 4 hours, but he's thinking about giving up. Yeah, he's thinking about giving that one up and just staying on this one full time.
Well, I think that would make a lot of sense, both economically and feasibility.
Right, right, because...
I mean, we need to scare up somebody to help him on Wednesday. So he said.
I talked to Twana, and I thought Twana said she was going to be on with Snooper, and I just assumed that she was going to be on every Wednesday.
Oh.
I'm going to have to email her back and ask her if she meant she was going to be on every Wednesday.
Yeah, I could not commit.
That would be good
another.
Because Tawana and Snooper are really well together.
Yeah, they do. I've heard them together, and they're very good.
Yep.
A lot of the same kind of cadences, you know.
Yep. And right now, I haven't heard anything from Doug Gibbs. I don't know who told. I thought Brian is the one that told me that Doug Gibbs was going to be in with Matt on Saturdays. But I haven't heard anything from Doug on it either.
Did anybody do that show Saturday?
Matt and Brian and Susan did.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But Matt's really smart, and he's a really good talker. He has no problem talking. Of course, he's a businessman. But he's not the same kind of a constitutionalist that Loki was. He leans more toward libertarian style conservatism.
Well, like you said, as long as you keep your beliefs consistent, there's room at the table.
Yeah. But now I know Doug's not going to do it full time, so somebody's got to come in and host with Matt. I don't know if he knows anybody that could come in, or if somebody, you know, like maybe Holger might want to do it. He stopped doing shows himself. He still pays for it, but he only does, an occasional show.
Yeah, I have not managed to catch him. I'm usually doing other things on Saturday, and every time that I have, Holger's on, and he won't be on. But that's one of those things. What time is Sounding Truth on?
Sounding Truth is on at 8 o'clock.
It's at 8?
Yeah, the only show that's 7 and 9 is our show. All the others are 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brian got locked out last Sunday, and he had to do his show from 11 to midnight. No, from 11 to 1.
Out.
Yeah, they said that
he
went in to do the show, and it said he didn't have a show scheduled.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
so he had to schedule a show, and he couldn't schedule one till 11 o'clock, so. Or maybe it was 10 o'clock, I don't remember. And I just know it was not at the normal time.
Yeah, just think that it'll be so good to keep this going as a group effort.
Yeah, yeah, it's good for Karen too because she does look go in and listen to the archives, and I think sometimes she might even call in and listen.
Well, Karen.
Yeah, because even now on the switchboard it says one caller, but they're not in the in the call-in room.
Hmm. That's not me, is it?
No.
I'm still called in. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so do you want to log in as co-host next week? Because I don't think Snooper's going to do it.
Oh,
so
they
just
be
you and me next week.
I will if you want me to. Yeah, why not?
I seriously have no clue as to what I'm doing here.
Oh,
I just
stuff. You're doing fine. I don't.
Well, Snooper started the show.
Yeah.
Which was very good.
Well, don't you just like log in and then it doesn't it launch itself? You just have to start the chat room.
Right. Right.
I think the opening you have it already all set and it starts regardless. I think.
Mhm.
But I'm not sure. I guess we can ask. I would like it if Snooper would come on occasionally with us because he's fun to talk to, and it's a good mix.
Okay,
but I can certainly understand if he
said recording left. It's not recording. Why not?
The show is not recording.
I just noticed it up in the corner there.
Really? Oh,
yeah, it's got little boxes underneath it, like time, you know, hours, minutes, and seconds, and it doesn't, it's not
dear.
Doing it.
Maybe you can ask Snooper about it.
He's gone. He
yeah,
left when
I mean,
Holder started. I don't think he could listen to that again.
Oh.
Yeah, he's been doing so much. He's been listening to all Loki's old shows, and he's really taking it hard. I mean, he called me at 3 o'clock the other morning.
Really?
3 o'clock in the morning, yeah. And we talked for almost 2 hours.
Oh, God bless him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had some tough years, and Loki was always there for him.
Yep, yep, he was.
Have been for all of us, really.
Yeah.
I just sent off a card to Karen.
Well, Loki offered him a place up there when Linda threw him out. And he said, no, I can't take advantage of you like that. And then Ed offered him a place, and so he went to Ed's in Indiana. So
that was good. How was that anyway? I haven't seen her.
They're not
days.
Together anymore, actually.
Yeah.
This is a long story on it, but I guess he lives in Cincinnati, and he just got a job. I guess he's doing fairly well. He's got an apartment. And I heard that Annie B had... Oh, yeah, he lost a ton of weight.
Yeah.
He's doing some fitness thing he's doing, for him and his daughter.
Oh, good for him.
And I think he lives right near his daughter because I think he babysits the kids all day. For her. And Annie B got
Annie
a job
B's
at a factory, so she sounds like she's doing okay.
Good deal.
That
nice
was a
tough,
major
huh?
surprise to me. So.
What, when they split up?
Yeah.
Do they have kids together?
Oh, yeah. They've got one son and two daughters.
Yeah. Life is rough, man.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I never had kids with my ex. I knew that I had no business procreating with that guy. I mean, I would have been single mother for sure, and I knew it deep down. And
really?
I did. You know, he was a wonderful man. He's a musician, and he was good looking, had hair down his ass, and he was a great guitar player, and we had a blast for a long time, just kind of itinerant, you know, he would play and I would 10 bar or wait tables or whatever, and we traveled around. It was a blast, you know. But
yeah, it sounds like a fun life. That's
something
I would have been quite doing. But I had my daughter at 18, so I really didn't get to do a whole hell of a lot. Yeah, I wanted to go in the military and talk to the recruiter, and she kind of laughed and said, well, you know, once you have a child and you're alone and don't think that you're going to really enjoy military life having to leave your child with your family, and which I'm glad I didn't because my family's crazy. But, but you know, I was only married for 6 months. My husband was a real ass. And, well, high school sweetheart and love is blind and all that. So till it comes to real life.
You don't have an asshole detector at 18.
No, as a matter of fact, her birthday was today at 2:40. She just turned 40 years old, yep.
Wow.
So I called her right at 2:40 and said, happy birthday, you were just born. She didn't even know it. Really, I was born at 2:40? She was so funny.
That's great.
Yep.
Aww. 40 years, my gosh.
Yep.
Time flies when you're having fun, huh?
Yep. And her sister's 8 years younger, so, I mean, there was a long span between children there.
Well, you didn't have to have people do it with two or three, you know, 1 year apart. Oh, my God, I don't know how you do it.
Let's see.
When they're years, it's different.
My youngest daughter is, her oldest is 3 and the youngest is 18 months, so there's only like 18 months between them, which is really great because they play together. And the one in Florida, her daughter's 13, but her son is 8 and then 6.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's really hard because the 8-year-old and the 6-year-old, the 13-year-old has to take a lot of time out of her day to help take care of them because they can't do anything. I mean, they don't go to the bathroom and, you know, if they want something to eat, they can't help themselves. They have to be given something. And
man, that's
just, God bless my daughter, man. She's got the patience of Job. I'd be up the wall. And I'm glad she finally got a respite care for, because the guy took, they went out last night, and the respite guy took care of all 3 of them. He babysat for them, so that was pretty nice of him to do that.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So important for mental health, though, you know what?
Right. Now she's thinking she's got to go to court for all 3 of them and get guardianship on them, because her dad found out, because he has a son with Asperger's, that now that he's 18, they can't make decisions for him anymore, and he's really autistic.
Oh my God!
So they've been going through court here.
They have to get that legal.
Yeah, they're doing it now. They just found out.
He had to go to the
doctor for something, and the doctor said, "Well, we can't tell you anything unless he tells us we can." You know, that new HIPAA stuff, they can't tell anybody anything unless you authorize it. So they're going to court now to get guardianship. So she's going to get hers done early.
If the government wants to know, then they'll just blab it all. You remember, like, the gun registry thing? Oh, yeah, it's real secret.
Yeah. Well, even now, she got the respite guy. So now that she has respite, she supposedly has Medicaid for Mitchell anyway, for the oldest boy, and she's supposed to pick a dentist for him, so she called up and she told them who she wanted the dentist to be, and they said, well, we can't give you any information because you're not the person you're not the guardian, and you're not the person we're supposed to talk to, and she says, I'm his mother. Doesn't matter.
We
can't talk to you.
So who could they? If there's no
way, that's what she said. Well, who's supposed to do this stuff for him? And they said, well, we can't tell you that either because you're not authorized. It's like, man, get him out of the system quick. Either that or get guardianship on him.
Yeah, you got to go for it.
Appointed. guardian, yeah.
What's the court going to do? Say, no, we don't think so. And then what, either just walk out and leave them?
Seriously.
Wait,
I think that's what they want. Well, look at that little girl that was dying, and they took her away from the parents because they said it was all in her head.
Yeah.
She had some terminal disease, and the parents were
lovely.
Trying to get help for her. And the government took the child away because they said they were causing it. It was all in her head.
Yeah, I forget the name. You've got Asperger's now in my brain. That's not it, I know. But something like that syndrome where you hurt the kid because you get attention.
Yeah.
That's what they said that they had.
Oh, that's what they thought she was doing?
Sick. No, the parents. There's a name for it. It's a syndrome where it's the person actually maybe not even consciously, but they hurt their kid because they like all the attention.
Yeah,
you know, when you have
an
ailing child and everybody's, you know, you're the center of things and they want that, so they hurt the kid and Munchausen, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. That is scary. Oh, just to get involved with any of those kind of organizations, just, oh God, that's just frightening.
Yeah.
What those people are going through. And the judges backed them up. Oh, yeah, it's pretty good money to get away. Oh.
Crazy.
I couldn't have made it, man. Of course, if I did have something, I'd be growing up now. But if I had a kid in school age, I don't think I'd make it. I didn't have been jailed. Yeah. Either that or I would be, I don't know what I'd do. I couldn't stand what they're doing to these children in the school. So it's just, wow, it's so wrong, and they think that they're so perfect.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess better toddle off here.
Yeah, me too.
Go clean up second dinner.
Okay, I'll talk with you. Well, maybe this week I'll talk with you.
Okay, sounds
otherwise,
good.
I'll talk to you Tuesday.
Okay.
Have a happy new year.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.